When it's going well, there's something wonderful that can happen around the table as people sit down for a meal. A meal can be a time where we show each other grace and love, where relationships can grow. Throughout much of human history, one of the social bonds that have tied people together is sitting down for a meal together and sharing food together and eating together. So I want to share a story with you. Almost 19 years ago, it was early May in the year 2000. I was a delegate to the United Methodist General Conference that was going on that year. I was a lay delegate. I was still in college. I had mostly been elected because they thought, oh, there's a college student that's willing to go. We should elect someone young. You know, I was okay being a token. Now, at a normal general conference, it's not what's going on in St. Louis because the one currently going on is a special general conference. But at a normal general conference, there are petitions from United Methodists all over the world. There are something like, I've heard different numbers, but something like 12 million United Methodists, and anyone who's a member of a church can submit a petition to General Conference. So they divide up all of these hundreds and hundreds of petitions into what are called legislative committees, and then the committees look at the petitions, they decide if they want to recommend them to the entire General Conference or if they don't want to recommend them to the General Conference. And I was put on a legislative committee that was dealing with matters of church and society. And you know what? That was a legislative committee where people were definitely not all of one mind. We were dealing with questions on should the church have a stand on gun laws or should the church have a stand on capital punishment. Questions like that that people of faith often have differences of opinion on. And so it was fairly early on in this voting process in this legislative committee, it was obvious that some of us thought the church should be heading in general in one direction, and some of us thought the church in general should be heading in another direction. And some of us very rarely voted the same way. I won't say that we never voted the same way, but it wasn't particularly common. So after we were several days into the conference, it was supper time. And I was at a restaurant hoping to be able to sit down and get something to eat. I didn't have anyone to eat with that night. I just wanted to be able to get something to eat before I had to be at an evening meeting that night. But I was worried I wasn't going to get a table in time because the restaurant was crowded. There was a man sitting also at a table alone. Now, he was in my legislative committee, and he and I'm sure we voted the same way on something, but I don't honestly remember what it was. He and I had very different views on where Jesus wanted the United Methodist Church to go. But he noticed me standing there, and he said something to the server, and he motioned at me, and I was able to come and sit down. He said, please, come and have dinner with me. So we sat down at the table, and we talked, and he was even gracious and generous enough to pay my bill, which, since I was a junior in college, was a nice thing at that point in my life. Still would have been a nice thing at this point in my life, but really then. Now, I'm not going to tell you, oh, he and I became the best of friends, that we started agreeing on everything. No, no. The point was we were both children of God, we were both brothers in Christ, and we could sit down at a table and have some grace and some peace and some conversation between the two of us. And I'm still very grateful for his act of grace that he showed me and that act of generosity that he showed me. And I wish I could tell you I remembered his name. I don't. But it reminded me of what's supposed to happen around the table. Well, here at church, we come around the table each week. It's not a dinner table. You know, there's not Chicken George on the table or a salad or whatever your favorite kind of soup is or whatever you might want to eat. But we come around the table each week. We've been talking for the last several weeks about our Methodist DNA, about those parts of our Methodist traditions and theology that shape what we do here at Wesleyan United Methodist Church, that equip us to have a deeper relationship with God in certain ways, that equip us to go out and, again, as the Lord's Prayer says, to have it be on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Now, I will argue from the very beginning, and have, that at the heart of everything it means to be United Methodist is grace. We believe in grace, that life-changing relationship that God offers every single person through Jesus Christ. And not just a relationship that changes our lives personally, but that equips us to go and to love people throughout this world and to help change the entire world. All of existence in Jesus' name. And one of the most profound ways that we can experience grace is through the communion table. When we come around this table each week, we are reminded just how deeply God loves us. Now, of course, communion is not something that is unique to the United Methodist Church. I do not know of a single type of Christian community that does not take communion. Maybe there's one out there, but I don't know of it. And that is because communion is at the heart of one of the key stories in the Gospels of Jesus. When Jesus sat down with the apostles and maybe some others, maybe not, for the Passover meal on the last night before he was arrested, before he was betrayed and arrested and crucified, and then 3 days later rose again. At that meal, Christ said to the disciples, when he broke some bread, "This is my body which is broken for you. This will symbolize my body which is broken for you. This is how much I love you." And then, depending on which of the Gospels you read, probably at the end of the meal, he took a cup and he raised it up and gave thanks to God. And then he shared it with his disciples and he said, "This is a symbol and a sign of my blood which is shed for you. This is how much you are loved." Now we should note that our passage for today does not, in a sense, exactly describe that event. This is from one of Paul's letters to the church in Corinth in ancient Greece. Paul was not at the Last Supper. Paul was not there. He might have been in Jerusalem the same night, but we'll probably never know. But Paul, though he came to faith in Christ later, though Christ appeared to him later, though he was not one of the 12 apostles who were with Christ that night, Paul believed it vital that we remember what Christ did that night. And each time the Corinthian church or churches, because they were really groups of people meeting in different houses throughout that city, when the Corinthian churches would gather, Paul wanted them to take communion. He believed that they could be reminded each week when they took communion that Christ loved them so much that Christ had died for them. That this was a reminder of Christ's unbelievable and profound love, and that it was something that they could participate in that would remind them of this love, and that they could participate in equally as children of God, slave or free, men and women all together participating in this act of sacrament and communion. Well, the founder of John Wesley, who lived in the 1700s in England, was like Paul. He believed communion was a good thing. In fact, he said, if you can, take communion every single day. Now, because he lived in 18th century England, and in many churches of the Church of England at that time, and a few to this day, you can go to a communion service at church every single day. And, you know, John Wesley was a good Anglican. He was a good Church of England priest. He thought that was a good thing, because he believed that each time we take communion, we can experience the grace of God in profound, life-changing ways. It does not matter how often we take it. Each time, it is a time when the grace of God can touch our hearts. So Wesley's vision, when Methodism came to the United States in 1784, Wesley put together a book of worship. That's what I'm calling it. We still have a book of worship. It's not what he called it then. It was based on the Church of England. And John Wesley said to the Methodists in the United States, "I want you to take communion every Sunday. I want you to remember every Sunday Christ's sacrificial love for you. I want you each Sunday to be partaking in a ritual where you don't just consume." Now you might say, "That's funny, Pastor. Of course we consume. We eat the bread, we drink the wine at communion." But no, John Wesley, it hit on something that's important. In communion, we come forward. We receive, we are engaged in it. Often with the liturgy, we say things. It's not just, "Oh, I'm listening to somebody sing," or "I'm listening to someone read the Bible," or "I'm listening to someone speak." I'm actively participating in something. It makes us an active participant in the service, and that can often help us connect more deeply with God as we seek to worship. So John Wesley hoped that Methodists would take communion each week, but they ran into a problem. They believed that you had to have an ordained person to lead communion each week. Methodism was very popular. It was so popular they didn't have enough preachers back then. Methodists would gather weekly for worship. They'd sing, they'd read the Bible. There would usually be a lay person who would stand up, or maybe not even stand up, might just sit and give a message because they were just sitting in a circle in some cabin somewhere. but there wasn't someone to lead them in communion each week. And so quickly that fell away, and they would do communion whenever a minister, an ordained person, could be with them, often once a month. And if you lived way out on what was considered the frontier in those days, it might only be once a quarter, because that's as often as your minister would actually be with you for worship. But the point always was that we must do this, because in this ritual we are reminded of God's grace. We are reminded that grace is offered to everyone. We believe in the United Methodist Church in what is called an open table. If you are visiting this church today, you don't have to be a member of this church to partake in communion. If somebody in your family or a friend is visiting you and they come to church with you, they are invited to come forward. If you're not sure, if you're at the very beginning stages of this Jesus thing, of seeking to be a Jesus follower, but you believe that by participating you might feel some of the love and the grace of God, you are invited to come forward. If you're a child, like I said to the kids during children's time, if you're a child, you're invited to come forward because you can experience grace too. And actually, there are many people who are writing that in some ways communion is one of the first things that we do in church that some children can fully participate in. Because let's be honest, a lot of times church is pretty adult. But communion is a ritual where we all come together. Everyone is welcome at this table. Now, it's not that you come forward and that solves everything. You never need to worry about anything else. This is part of your growing in faith. We believe that each time you take of this sacrament, you can grow in faith and take another step in your faith journey. And so much did Methodists come to believe that we didn't want anything to keep people away from the table that Methodists started using grape juice instead of fermented wine, because they knew that it could be dangerous for some people to consume alcohol for a wide variety of reasons. And we didn't want that to keep people away. And even in this church, if you can't consume the elements, you are always invited to come forward to receive a blessing in Jesus' name, because everybody is invited to this table of grace. And I want to say one final thing. It's so powerful to me that we all get the same portion, so to speak, in communion. Now, I will admit, if I'm tearing off the bread, I'm not going to guarantee you each piece of bread I tear off is exactly the same size. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is everyone here is an honored guest. Human societies have a tendency to put some people above others, whether it's based on money or your family or whether you're a man or a woman or something else like that. That is not the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, everybody is a child of God. Everybody is a blessed, loved child of God. God does not have a favorite child. No, we are all invited into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I've been in ministry sometimes with people in my ministry who people did not treat with decency. I remember one person in particular who'd been treated with appalling cruelty by first her family, and then someone who claimed to love her, and then some other people as well. But though the world had disrespected her, at Christ's table, she was an honored guest just like everybody else. There are no throwaway people. There is no junk at Christ's table. At Christ's table, everyone comes. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter where your ancestors came from, doesn't matter if you got an accent, doesn't matter if your body doesn't work so well, doesn't matter if you've made a few mistakes in this life. Everyone is invited to come to the table. So I pray that today, as we get ready to take communion here in the church, but every time that we come to the sacrament and any activity that's going on here at our congregation, that you are reminded just how much God loves you. Christ loves you so much that Christ was broken and bled for you. And Christ calls us into relationship with God and into relationship with each other, that we might share the love of God with this world, that we might go out and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, as the mission statement of our United Methodist Church says, and that everyone may know the grace of God. So let us prepare to come to the table of grace. In Christ's name, amen.